Again, as I said earlier, this is conclusion of our series, Survivor. Now, if anyone here, are there any Survivor fans, okay? People who watch Survivor on the regular. This was a great series for me to pick, huh? Something that nobody cares about, nobody watches. Okay, in the beginning. Okay, so it's been a while. Okay, all right. Wow. Just when you think you're being really cool and really relevant, you know, you find out that nobody cares. It's like, dang, I'm old. Yes, I am. Just in case you didn't know it. Well, the goal of the Survivor game, of course, right? We all know the goal of the Survivor game is to get to the end of the season still a survivor, to become that sole survivor. That is the goal, to win that big prize, to somehow overcome all the obstacles, to evade all of the cancellation votes, all of the kick off the island stuff that goes on that, but somehow to endure all of that and come out in the end yet surviving. And as we began the series, we talked, that's exactly what life is, isn't it? Because we all are going to be faced with challenges and obstacles and sometimes with opposition. We're going to come against things. We're going to have to team up with others. We're going to have to somehow just put all of our best effort into this idea that we want to be able to be faithful to God's call for us and also to recognize His faithfulness to us throughout those trials of life. You know, each of us have, I'll give you a credit, each of you have survived here to the end of the series. Woohoo! But I hope more than just getting to the end and saying we can now turn the page, I hope something of these last few weeks has been able to stick with us as we move forward. And I have personally, I'm not saying this has to be you, but for me, I have come to a new appreciation for something that I have appreciated for years, which is the 23rd Psalm. And I have, as we've studied and as we've talked about and as we've kind of journeyed together, I think I have begun to see things in that I hadn't seen before, and I hope that's been the same for you as well. But as we go forward, that is an important piece, because I believe the 23rd Psalm is exactly that. It is an invitation for us to survive. It's an invitation for us to move from life into a fulfilled life. And that's what the goal is of the 23rd Psalm. And I think that's what we are invited to as we move through it. Let me do it real quick before we take a look at the 23rd Psalm. I want to just take a look at where we've been. You know, we started off this series and we went to the opening one had to do with we are more than survivors. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. This became our opening springboard into the rest of the series, recognizing that all the tools that might be here in this 23rd Psalm for us, all of the tools that we might be able to acquire, if we don't have Jesus, if we don't have that trust relationship with Him, if we don't have that saving relationship where we have said yes to His gift to us, all the other tools are nice window dressing, but they will not work. The key to it all is this relationship with Jesus. So we said at the very beginning, outset of this series, if you do not know Jesus, if you've heard about Jesus, but you've never said yes, you've never trusted Him with your life, all that I'm about to say will be good advice, but it's not going to have the kick. It's not going to have the oomph. It's not going to have the impact, because the real secret sauce to it all is this relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so today, as we wrap up, I want to say it again, that if you know about Jesus, but you do not know Jesus, if you've heard about Jesus, but you've not invited Him into your life, this is the day that you need to say yes to that invitation, to say salvation is mine. Not salvation could be mine, but salvation is mine because I am going to trust Jesus with my life. It's an important piece. It's an important piece because without it, we are all lost. But if we have Jesus in our life, we began to walk through the series. And I think this was this equally important piece. Not only is number one, that critical piece that Jesus has to be in the middle for this any of this to work. But number two, it's important for us to realize that what the rest of the series is going to be about is that even as believers, the struggle of life is real. And I think we need to put it out there. That's just the way it is. We shouldn't be surprised when we go up against opposition. We shouldn't be surprised when things go wrong. We shouldn't be surprised, nor should we think that God is out to get me or that maybe there is something wrong with me. Well, there is, okay? If you wonder about that, there is. But that's not the reason that we struggle. We struggle in life because we live in this world. And part of what this relationship with Jesus is to be applied in the very here and now of this life. And so we looked, the first, as we opened up Psalm 23, we looked at surviving worry. Because so many of us get just affected by this idea of worry as it comes over us. Be able to believe that what God has in mind for us is the very best for us because of his love for us. We talk about surviving busyness because we often get so wrapped up in ourselves, in the stuff of life, and in the world around us that really wants to pull us in every direction except for that direction which comes to find our hope and our peace and our joy in Jesus. We talked about surviving emotional pain because for all of us who live life, emotional pain is going to be part of that game. God doesn't remove that from our life once we trust Christ, but he gives us new tools because he invites us, that he says that he will walk through us even through those dark valleys because he is there with us. Even in those moments when we feel isolated and alone, we're reminded that we are not. Which then enables us to deal with others around us. And again, talking last week just about the freedom of forgiveness that comes to us when we are able to begin to let things go, things, hurts from our past, hurts that others have done to us. How do we begin to navigate life in relation with other people? What a joy it has been to walk through all these. But the psalm doesn't end with that. The psalm ends with something I'm going to call today, and I think we're all going to call today, the overflow. Now, I set this apart a little bit different because all these others within the series have been tools and hints and pathways for us to walk to find our way of surviving through these challenges in life. But this last verse that we look at today, the psalmist does this for us, and he basically says, if you do all these first five, then this will be the fruit of walking with Jesus. This will be the outcome. This will be the conclusion. This will be where we arrive. Before we take a look at it, I would like to have it read for us. Jennifer, would you come and would you read for us that psalm, the entirety from 1 through 6 of Psalm 23, and then we'll take a look specifically at our conclusion.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Going to the conclusion, this piece, this little closing chapter we call the overflow. My cup overflows, it said. This is, again, this is going to be an outflow of what's been going on all the way up to this, leaning on the Good Shepherd, finding him guiding us by these green pastures and beside still waters, walking through all the challenges and difficulties, even those dark, dark valleys, as we come to this place, says, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That cup overflows is a powerful image as we look through it through the scripture. It is a reminder always of what it means to be a symbol of total fulfillment, just to the point where it's even beyond the brim. It is what we would all desire for. And he's saying, if that is your desire, and it is our desire, is it not? That we should then look back at what we have just walked through. This idea of goodness and love flowing in our life so that it's God's goodness and love flowing in our lives, following me all of my days. And some of those days may be dark days. Some of those days may be difficult days. Some of those days may be days that we wish we hadn't ever got out of bed because there was just too much trouble for us. And yet, even in those days, it says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, it is living life aware of God's goodness. It is in the midst of all the trials of life, being aware of God's goodness and love. Some versions read that a little different, don't they? Following me all the days of my life, and a confidence that even in the face of death, that goodness will continue on for us. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, this is the outcome. This is the outcome of this life that is rooted in Christ, that then begins to live a new pattern, not the old patterns that we had before Jesus and even the patterns with Jesus that we continue to walk in, those ones that are riddled by our worries and riddled by our grief and riddled by our bitterness and riddled by our unforgiveness, riddled by the hurt of others and the sensitivity of that hurt of others, of those when we want to have them fulfill us, but they were never meant to fulfill us. Only God is meant to fulfill our hearts ultimately. And we see that how this begins to then flow, that there even the fear of death begins to wash away because we can look forward even to that day. You know, there was a time in my life, even my ministry life, when I really didn't know what those words meant. I'm getting older. I know it's news to all of you, because you think I'm just, you know, I'm a kid, right? Yeah, that's how I think of myself, but I'm getting older. And I can see it. There is something to look forward to. There was a day when I couldn't see that. I knew it in my head, but in my heart, I didn't know it, because in my heart, I was still thinking I was going to live forever here, and I know I'm not. But I can look forward to something even better. Surely goodness and love will follow me each and every day of my life. I can be surrounded by God's goodness. Great is thy faithfulness to me. All the songs today, by the way, all the songs today, fabulous, my gosh, speaking to our heart of what we need to hear. But it's this overflow. It's this overflow that we're talking about today. So what is it? Let me go to the overflow. This is kind of an interesting thing. When we talk about what the overflow is, there's two components. One is, what does God say? Not just in 23rd Psalm, but what does he say to all of us throughout the Bible? What is it that we can look forward to as we walk out this life in relationship with our good shepherd? How do we begin to experience this life? And I'm going to offer you four things here at first, and then we're going to conclude. But the four things are this, that we should begin to see something in us that is a growing sense of gratitude. The Apostle Paul in Colossians 2 says this, so then, just as you receive Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. And what? Overflowing with thankfulness. Now, we're not going to raise hands. I'm just going to say we're going to do a little self-evaluation here. Look deep inside. Am I overflowing with thankfulness? Or is something kind of blocking that flow? Okay, that's part of the overflow. This just resting in him, we should begin to experience something coming out of us because God is pouring into us, and that thankfulness should begin to flow. In 2 Corinthians 8, again, another part of the New Testament, where Paul also says this, in the midst of every trial, he's talking about another part of the body of Christ. He says, their overflowing joy. He's talking to the Corinthians about their neighbors up the way, the Macedonians. Macedonians, the Corinthians kind of looked down on the Macedonians because the Macedonians weren't nearly as smart and weren't nearly as handsome, weren't nearly as accomplished as the Corinthians were. But the Macedonians had something else, and Paul's talking about it here. They are overflowing with joy that even in their extreme poverty, not something we would look forward to, right? So the joy blended with the poverty, welled up in rich generosity. It doesn't make any sense, does it? How could someone who is poor, because of the joy of Christ overflowing in them, how could they become now standards for generosity? It's because God does a work in our hearts that sets us apart and does something that the world cannot understand. But Paul speaks of this overflowing of joy. So again, my second question is this, and it's like the first. Do a little self-evaluation here on the joy meter in your life. Are you full, or is it kind of diminishing? Where's it at? Number three, talk about this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, it says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other. There is something that happens when we are walking, we are resting with the Good Shepherd. He is guiding us to green pastures. He is leading us beside these quiet waters. We are resting in his love for us, that out of that should begin to work this overflow, that as those around us, if we can somehow get over our own insecurities and somehow get out of our own busyness where we're all consumed by our stuff, can we allow that love then to begin to overflow through us? Where how we think about our brothers and sisters, or how we react to our brothers and sisters, how we begin to respond when we see needs around us. How is it that that love meter is working within us? And finally, for the overflow, I'll bring up this, Romans 15, where this is a prayer for you and me. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you might, what? Overflow with hope. Anyone going through difficult times right now? Anyone insecure about what tomorrow's going to bring? Anyone struggling just because it just doesn't feel like there's any hope? This is what the overflow is to be about, that as we rest in him, we're going to begin to see these things begin to overflow. So our self-evaluation is this. How is our levels, our meters of gratitude and joy, love and hope? Because that's part of what God says is to be ours as we rest in him and as we come to him. That should begin to grow up. And finally, I want to say this is a cool thing. I will warn you, I'm a nerd when it comes to this stuff. So if you don't know me, just know Pastor John is a nerd, especially a Bible nerd when it comes to this kind of thing. But this just shocked me when I read this. Because we live in the 21st century. We don't know the customs of that 3,000 years ago when David is writing this psalm. Let me tell you about ancient Near Eastern customs of hospitality. But before we do, have you ever wondered, have you ever gone to somebody's house and then as you left you thought, may I stayed too long? You know, I just overstayed. I shouldn't have stayed that long, but I just, you know, oh, I feel bad. Or have you ever been hosting somebody and you're saying, when are these guys going to leave? You know, how do I do this without offending them? You know, but it's like, it's time. Just like, you know, it's like, yeah, this has been good, but really, you know, I like to go to sleep. You know, do you say, hey, yeah, I'll catch you in the morning. The coffee's set. You know, I'm going to bed though, but you can stay as long as you want. You know, have you ever felt that kind of that awkward place of not knowing what the appropriate thing is? Well, in the ancient Near East, again, this is roughly 3,000 years ago across the Middle East, where David was living, there were hospitality customs. And one of them had to do with this. It would have to do with, as you came into somebody's house, somebody's tent, whatever it was, if you had been on the outside, they would always offer you something to drink. It would be, they would give you a glass or a cup of water. Okay? And so the first thing they would do is offer you a cup of water to drink. And then once you had drank that water, they would, without asking, they would refill it for you. And as long as they kept refilling your glass, this was known, so it wasn't offensive. As long as they kept filling your glass, it was cool with them that you stayed. Yeah, so this is kind of cool. But, you know, if after a while they stopped refilling your cup, hello? That's to be a hint that, you know, your time here has been really good, but let's call it to an end. And there's one little twist, that if the host intentionally filled your cup and it overflowed onto the table, that was like, don't even bother. You just stay as long as you want. Because there was a symbol in the cup. There was a symbol in that extension of hospitality. It was meaningful. It just didn't mean they were klutzy. It meant that they cared about you and they were enjoying your company. And because of that, your cup overflows. Could that be something about what David's talking about here? Again, we miss out on it because, quite honestly, none of us know that Middle Eastern culture, and certainly not from way back then. But that was common in his day. When he's writing this psalm, he is saying, it is like the Lord is filling your cup to overflow because he is enjoying you. And he wants more of you. And he wants you to enjoy this and not have this time go away. In that overflow of God's pleasure for you, his mercy and his goodness and his love will follow you all the days of your life. And in the pleasure of God's just pouring this out on you, this overflow, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is such an interesting facet. It's something that comes to us. So, you know, we've talked about a lot of things over these last 7 weeks, you know, how to survive and how to survive and how to survive, how to survive worry and busyness and emotional pain, darkness and hurts from others and all the rest, how to begin to allow this and to recognize that David wraps this all up by saying, this is how. Recognize that God is filling your cup and he's overflowing your cup. And it's not an accident. And it's not because God's a klutz. It's because he loves you and he wants you to know that love. So today, what I would like to do, we're not going to take time to come up front and put out one of our flames like we've done in weeks past. But I do want to give us all just a little bit of time today to recognize, maybe it's just that self-evaluation. How is that joy and that thankfulness, and how is that love and that hope meter going for me? Or maybe it's one of those things. Maybe it's one of these six that we've walked through that I'm still struggling with, still isn't overcoming, still desiring to get past that so that I can get into this place of this overflow, where I can just experience more and more the goodness of God and know that love for him, for me, doesn't fail because he is God. So I'm going to take some time. I'm going to have our worship team come to the front. We're going to invite, if you would like today, either just in the quietness as they just kind of play gently behind us, if you'd like to just pray for God's help in this. And if you would like to step forward, I mean, we're going to have some folk up here in the front who would be happy to pray along with you or simply have you come and pray. If you want to get out of your seat, it feels important for you to move, to come down to the front, either before the song is sung or while the song is being sung. Just take this time. For you, don't feel like you've got to do the lyrics and all the rest. Just come and have this time with God. So there'll be a couple of people down here happy to pray with you, but if you would like simply to just pray by yourself, that's fine too. Say no thank you, but they will be here if you'd like someone to pray with you. So this is our invitation. Our invitation today is to come and say that overflow I've been hearing about is what I desire. That overflow of knowing that I have nothing else in my life that I have need for, but I have Jesus. That he's the one who is taking me into the fields and the pastures that are enough for me. And beside the still waters where my soul can be refreshed. That is our goal, to find ourselves living in that overflow as we move beyond here. So today, just in the quiet, I'll ask you just to pray. Pray for yourself, pray for one another, but if you'd like to come, prayer team, come on forward. We're here if you would like to pray with you. In a few moments, our team can guide us all to stand for those who are not already standing and conclude with the psalm. But just in this quietness, let us invite God to have his way with us. Set us free. Open that door so that we too might experience his overflow.